Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
I'm Lisa Dent in for Anna DeVellantis on 720 WGN. How are you, Steve?
Oh, a dramatic story to tell you that made me think of it, that bump, that very bump we just heard. So there you are. You're living in Colorado and your doorbell rings. And you go to the door and you see a reindeer ringing your doorbell.
Accidentally, I would assume.
I guess Santa was missing one. I don't really know. So if this year there's one less reindeer, we know. I mean, you can see video of this thing. Well, really, it's an elk, but it makes for a better story if I say it's a reindeer.
It really does.
But yeah, but can you imagine? And I mean, you see the antlers, which are huge on elk, actually using antlers to ring the doorbell, and one of those doorbell cameras picks up on it. And once wasn't enough. Every day for several days in a row, for reasons unbeknownst to me, I'm the animal guy, but you ask me why animals do some things, I don't know.
And how did I miss this? Yeah. So I'm guessing this went viral.
Yeah. You could see it on my website, stevedale.tv.
Steve was yesterday honored with his very own day in the city of Chicago, which he was explaining to me that they don't often do that. And of course, he's going to be humble and not really talk about it much. So let me tell you, he was honored by the city of Chicago and Mayor Lori Lightfoot with his very own day. Yesterday was Steve Dale Day in Chicago, and the proclamation was made to you in person last Wednesday.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's a wonderful honor, but you know, there are so many people at shelters like Paws Chicago. Yesterday I was in an event for One Tale at a Time. We have shelters and rescues all over Chicago. The veterinarians and the veterinary technicians, I never forget the technicians, who are all those folks are in the trenches every single day. I just, like you, have a platform, and I've been able to, quote unquote, use that platform, and WGN has allowed me to do so on a local level.
So Steve is a certified animal behavior consultant, and he has reached more pet owners over the past few decades than any other pet journalist in America. That says it right there on the proclamation. That's amazing.
Yeah, well, again, I've just had platforms to do it. I was in USA Today and USA Weekend when they were around for quite a while, syndicated by the Tribune, when the Tribune syndicated folks for quite a while. And through those and many other platforms, I do a couple of national radio shows now, you know, so, and I have been for years.
And who's your baby?
Well, we have three babies. We have a dog. I assume what you're referring to.
Yes.
A dog named Hazel. Who's about, I don't know, my wife's going to kill me if I get this wrong, 11 years old, Chihuahua Terrier mix. We have a Devon Rex cat, which are way cool. Her name is Roxy. She is almost 20 years old and doing okay. And best of all, we have a Northern Blue Tongue skink. That's a kind of lizard. Everyone ought to have a skink.
Never seen one. I mean, I've seen one in pictures. I've never met one in person.
Everyone should have a skink, and she has a blue tongue, so she looks like she just had a Slurpee, and she's about 26 or 27 years old.
Steve Dale is in studio. You hear him all the time on 720 WGN, and when you take that Chihuahua out, does the Chihuahua wear a sweater and boots?
You bet.
I knew it.
Yeah.
Because number one, they're cold all the time.
They're small.
Yeah, they're small. And people in the city put boots on their dogs because there's so much stuff they could be stepping in that could eventually be poisonous.
Absolutely true. And it's also very cute.
Yeah.
I think our dog has more coats and sweaters than I have.
Oh, my gosh.
My wife has seen to that. So she's very fashionable. Actually, she does animal-assisted therapy for an organization called Rainbow Animal-Assisted Therapy. And when they went virtual, when the pandemic hit, what do you do? So she went to Lurie's Children's Hospital, and so she's entertaining kids, so she thought a fashion show would be very cute. Now, I really think my wife thought a fashion show is going to be very cute for me, not necessarily the kids, but nevertheless, she has all these out, and they did it virtually, where Hazel would wear one outfit. It had kind of a Mexican theme. Then she changed to another, and it would have kind of a Brazilian samba theme to it. And she had all these different outfits and still has them, and performed for the kids who hopefully enjoyed it.
Via Zoom?
Via Zoom at the time, yeah.
And so everything has resumed somewhat to normal where you can get pet therapy dogs?
Yes.
back in the hospitals?
Yes, at least for now. We hope for a while.
When my mom was passing and they couldn't understand, this was in March, how she was still alive after 5 days with no medical assistance, they said, hospice people know, she's waiting for something. And I said, well, everybody is checked in. The only thing she'd be waiting for is her dog. And back then, that's March, that's COVID. I mean, it was amazing that CDH allowed my sister and I to stay by her bedside for 5 days. That was kind of skirting the rules. But I had a nurse that came in, Nurse Emily, and she came in like 2 hours later and she said, do you think your mom's really waiting for her dog? And I said, I know she's waiting for her dog. Mm-hmm. And she said, rush home and get the dog. I'm pushing the paperwork through right now. And we brought the dog up. I got Roma into my mom's bed, and my mom peacefully passed away 3 hours later.
Totally not surprised.
Me neither. I knew she was waiting for that dog. She loved that dog, and and then the dog passed away 3 weeks later.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so I just...
And that's the human-animal bond right there, right?
That's the power of the bond that we share with our animals. It's so important.
I know you're vaccinated. You know, what they're doing now for kids being vaccinated is they're bringing dogs, like our dog Hazel, to the vaccination site for little kids.
Oh,
so they can hug a dog, and they don't think about that injection so much. Or if they think about it, there's a dog there to help them to feel better.
I love that. Therapy dogs are just the most amazing gift. And, of course, handlers of therapy dogs, to me, are a godsend. So,
well, dogs are, you know, I remember, and I'm not going to name drop for the sake of name dropping. So last year, or it was the year before, actually, I interviewed Dr. Jen Goodall again. And at the end of it, I said, what one message do you want to leave us with? And she said, I want to try to think of her exact words. Dogs are very special. It wasn't, we talked about the environment. I mean, obviously, that's what she lives for now, is making a difference for all of us. We talked about what she began doing, and that's chimpanzee research and primates. But it's dogs, she said, that have had more of an impact on her life than anything.
That's I couldn't agree more. Steve Dale is in the studio, and congratulations. I talked about it being proclaimed Steve Dale yesterday, Dale Day. But yeah, I applaud
you. How did you celebrate my day?
How did I celebrate?
Did you pet your pig?
I took the pig out, tooled around with that, but I had the husky jump over the fence because, you know, we're in temporary housing and we put up a temporary fence, and he finally figured it out. I was like, there he goes, you know, and there's only one way to get the escape artist back, and that is to take the dog he loves the most on a leash. So I put Hank on a leash. I walked out and I looked at him and I go, hey, Nash. And I turned my back and walked the other way. And it was like magic. Choom! He ran as fast as he could to get back to me and right to the door and in. He just wants to jump over the fence. He doesn't want to leave us. He doesn't want to run away. He wants to show us, like, hey, watch this. I could scale a 5-foot fence.
And you said something magical there, actually. So dog training 101, when a dog gets away from you, our inclination is to run after the dog.
Mm-mm.
And sometimes that can be the right thing to do, I suppose. Having said that, what did you just say?
I turned my back and walked the other way.
Uh-huh.
After I made eye contact and vocal contact, I was like, I'm going this way.
And they want to be with you.
Absolutely.
Yep. Now, I don't always recommend that, and certainly not if your dog is heading into traffic.
Right,
you know?
Right.
But overall, that really works better than you chasing an animal that can run so much faster.
He would love for me to chase him. He'd be like, let's go. Let's play.
That's right.
And we were near cornfield, so I was aware of the surroundings, and I thought, he could cross that cornfield in like 3.2 seconds if I just turned my back to him. But yeah, they're just such a gift. So aside from all the warm and fuzzy news, there was another tragedy involving a dog in St. Charles last week where a jogger was running past a house that she's familiar with. A golden doodle ran out. She grabbed the golden doodle by the collar. The homeowner comes out and says, oh, thank you. At that time, the door bursts open. Two Rottweilers come out, and the attack was horrendous. Steve, as an animal behaviorist, what can you look for in your dog? What kind of, you know... I mean, what do you look for that might indicate that your dog could act in that manner in the future?
Yeah, and the owner reportedly did everything she could, you know, and she ended up being hospitalized because she tried to break up this dog fight that was going on. These two dogs, one of the dogs was shot and did not survive. The other dog was euthanized, which was probably the right thing to do. The answer is not an easy one, and the answer is to never get to that point in the first place. Rarely, there's always a first time, but rarely are aggressive dogs aggressive without having been aggressive before.
Okay.
Or shown some sign that there's some issue going on with that dog or those dogs. So in all likelihood, I don't know, but in all likelihood, the family knew that these two dogs were potentially dangerous. Now, having said that, the dogs apparently just broke right through the door, you know?
Right, and they had an electric fence, and that does not prevent a dog from crossing.
No, it does not. I am not a fan of electric fences for the reason you just said. If you have an aggressive dog or a dog on the other side of that fence who wants to get at your dog inside the fence.
Or a coyote.
That's absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or something is so motivating, like just the idea for your husky. Just the idea of running.
Oh, yeah. You know, keeping him in.
It can't. Right.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm truly not a fan of electronic fencing.
Me neither. Hey, next with Steve Dale, how to keep your pup or your pet out of the ER this holiday season. That's on the way on 720 WGN. This is 720 WGN. I'm Lisa Dent in for Anna DeVlantis. Steve Dale is in the studio with me. He is a certified animal behavior consultant. And thank you for all your text messages. People like the story about my mom. And they said, your mother waited for Roma, and then Roma followed her home where they are together forever. Amen.
Oh,
I know. Peter, in Sauk Village, you're going to make me cry. That's so true.
It's going to make me cry. That's really nice.
Yeah.
And that's true.
It is
true. You know,
true.
I mean, someone once asked me on some radio show somewhere if dogs go to heaven. And my answer was, if they don't, I don't want to go there. And the response from the listener is, then you want to go to the alternative. And I thought, well, is there a third choice?
Yeah. Not that either. So how do you keep your pets out of the ER for the holidays? Because I got to tell you, there is always some member of my family that is sneaking the dog food under the table. And then like 10 hours later, we have a diarrhea problem and I'm the one cleaning it up. And it makes me crazy.
And it can be worse than just the loose stool.
Yeah.
It can be pancreatitis, for example. So that fat or skin from the turkey or chicken or ham, that can cause an inflamed pancreas. That is called pancreatitis, and that can be deadly. The chicken bones themselves, if the dogs, I mean, hopefully your guest won't have, but if the dogs dumpster dive and get into it, or cats, then they similarly, that's not only a choking hazard, it can perforate the esophagus or the stomach lining, and worse and worse and worse, and they can land in the pet ER. So we want to prevent that from happening. My thing is, all right, we've got closed doors in the house, and even if Uncle Buddy and Aunt Sally mean really well, Aunt Sally and Uncle Buddy may forget that your little dog may be 20 pounds, or your cat may be 8 pounds or 10 pounds. And three slices of turkey for an animal
that's a lot.
Well, let me rephrase that. One slice of turkey is a lot. So three slices is like us eating a bird and a half. I mean, really, you know, and even for a very large dog, they're not as large as we are. And some of them can deal with it. But how do you know? So I like the idea of this, a closed door. Put the pet in the other room so the pets are not tempted to beg and Aunt Sally and Uncle Buddy aren't tempted to give that pet something. And instead, there's something, Merrick Pet Foods has something called Christmas Day Dinner that's available at pet stores.
That makes you feel good.
It's manufactured for pets or even just treats that you have in the house. Stuff them inside toys because that way it takes a while for the pet to get them out. It's good mental stimulation for them. It gives them something to do as well. And it's something healthy that they're about to eat.
If you have a pet-related question, you can text us or call us. The number is 312-981-7200. Steve Dale is in the studio with us, and I think we've got a call on line two, actually. Hi, thank you for hanging on. Tyler, what's going on?
How you doing?
I'm doing well. So what's your question?
I was just wanted to pass along. My son-in-law's parents, they had two pit bulls on their property. They never left the property. They always took care of them. They never had no electric fences, or anything. But I think it just goes to how the pet owner takes care of the dog.
Well, I would like to say that that's true, but quite often you don't know, and something might trigger a pet to leave the property.
All it takes is one time. It could be a squirrel running on the other side of the street. It can be anything that that pet at that moment thinks, this is really interesting, I've got to check it out. I'm not concerned except for the pet's welfare. You know, there are streets and there are other problems. I mean, even if you live out in Armpit, Iowa, I mean, no matter where you are in America, there are cars. And pets always don't stop for those cars. So, no, I'm concerned about, but also, yes, I am concerned about dogs that can run into coyotes, dogs that can run into other dogs that aren't so friendly. Maybe your dog is not so friendly with other dogs. Whatever the situation is, they should be on your property. And a backyard is not a babysitter. And certainly just leaving them outdoors without electronic fencing is not good. With electronic fencing is not much better.
I had electronic fencing, and I actually talked to Joan Harris, and she said it was causing my dog's anxiety.
Yeah, that can be. Yes.
They'd start at one end of the yard. Yep. I had a couple acres, and they'd see a car, a bike, or whatever, and they'd bark and excited, and by the time they followed them all the way to the edge of the yard, they'd be squabbling a money. Like, wow, like, what do we do now? We couldn't talk to the person, so they'd kind of get anxious with each other. And
yes.
It made the difference when I put a physical barrier where they were like, because they no longer acted like that.
Tying out a dog. You know how people tie them out?
Mm-hmm.
That actually can cause a dog that's a happy-go-lucky dog to be aggressive. I mean, imagine you want something like a butterfly. I mean, something benign. You pull to the end of the leash. You feel choked. You're being choked for doing something that's very natural to do.
Hi, guys. Pecans are toxic to dogs as well. Love you guys. Merry Christmas from
Macadamia
Marlene.
Macadamia nuts. Bunch of nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, keep the nuts away.
From 847, I suggest no tinsel on the tree, especially if you have pets.
You know, I think we ought to, Lisa and I, you ought to get together with me. We ought to begin. Maybe we can find Senator Durbin and say, or better, President Biden. Forget all the other problems, President. Ban tinsel. That's what we need to do.
708, I'm a dog walker and sitter. I would love to learn more about puppy dog behavior, and I was wondering where to start.
Dr. Ian Dunbar has a wonderful book, and the great thing about this book, it's my favorite word, free. So it's Puppy for Beginners or Puppy from A to Z. I forget the name of the exact name, but it's Dr. Ian Dunbar, D-U-N-B-A-R. Google, go to his website, and you will find it, and you can download it. Or, better yet, a book that I contributed to called Decoding Your Dog, authored by myself and members of the American College of Veterinary Behaviorists.
Awesome. I'll take that suggestion, and I'll take them both. Thank you. What does Steve think about raw dog food? That's from 630. And I've got to tell you, I know a vet here in Chicago. She has fed her dog nothing but raw, and it's a 20-year-old German Shepherd.
Well, that's her dog. You know, what I'd like to see is some data. That's all. So far, there has not been a, that I know of, I know the vet you're talking about, but most veterinarians do not feel that way because of what I'm about to say. There has been no peer-reviewed journal study ever, to my knowledge, published that has said that there is any advantage to raw diets. Anecdotally, can they help some dogs? Perhaps. It depends on your dog. Talk to your veterinarian.
Yeah, absolutely, because we know that we turn to like hamburger and rice in times of stomach distress and pumpkin when they need it.
Right, but we don't give them raw hamburger.
Right.
And then there's the human concern as well about handling
touching
raw.
It. Yeah, absolutely. Any other dangers we need to watch out over Christmas with our dogs and cats?
Oh, yeah. So we hear about poinsettia plants all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And I hate to... Are you a romantic?
I know. They're beautiful. But that and the holly as well.
I'm talking about
mistletoe. Yes.
So you can kiss under it. You can kiss your dog under it, but make sure your dog or cat can't get to it because that's actually really toxic. You know about chocolates. A lot of people do. The darker the chocolate, the more of a problem. People may not know. Is that what I just said?
You
it's
did.
A new word. May not know about xylitol. That's an artificial sweetener. So you leave out the cookies for Santa. And you're thinking, oh, Santa has got to be on a diet. So you put the sugar substitute in it called xylitol. Keep your dogs away from it. It's a huge issue. Even a little bit can cause a problem.
Tell everybody where they can find you other than right here on 720 WGN.
SteveDale.tv. I will be here on Christmas Eve from 3 to 5 p.m. or 2 to 5 p.m. in the afternoon. But you're listening to WGN all the time anyway, right?
Thank you for your information and your love of pets. And congratulations on it being proclaimed Steve Dale Day.
Thank you.